G'day listeners, welcome to Barkarati, the sailing podcast. My name is Jordan Spencer and welcome you to an extra special week of Barkarati. So, to make it happen, let's bring in my two idiot mates. First off, Mr. Brett Perry.
Greetings, exalted one.
Hey, Pete.
Disarray. Disarray. Disarray is the word of the week. And it is because, obviously, the Hobart was cancelled. Not knowing what to do, not that I was racing, but not knowing what to do on Boxing Day. Then, obviously, some other events have been cancelled, but all along the way. But I took the time to actually enter myself into something completely different, into the virtual regatta Sydney to Hobart yacht race, right, of which I was late to the start because I got pissed on Christmas Day.
This is
late to the start is probably a good thing, because I'll tell you why. There was 150,000 entrants, and I'm not sure about how it would have gone 150,000 boats on the harbour.
Well, let's bring in the other bloke, and we'll get on to that in a minute, actually, because it will be of interest to a lot of people out there.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Mr. Nick Bice.
Merry Christmas to all. Merry Christmas. You had a wonderful day with the families and loved ones, and it sounded as though your family and loved ones had a cracker, BP. If you were still pissed by lunchtime on Boxing Day.
Wasn't pissed.
To sail your virtual boat across the start line.
I think it was more just we had a lovely day with the family on Christmas Eve, to be honest.
Of course.
And then rolled into Christmas Day and then had a very lazy day on Boxing Day. Went, oh, shit, I'm racing.
Yeah. Good man.
Yeah. What I actually heard, BP, when you said that is you've been drinking the profits, mate.
No, none of that.
When we don't have any profits. I don't know about you boys. It was Christmas a few days ago, and the Sailor's Lager, it goes down a treat.
Christmas in more ways than one.
We'll get on. We got a lot to talk about, so we'll bring that all in. So I guess I do want to clarify for everyone listening. First up, we had a really extra special show lined up for you. Christmas has impacted on that in terms of our special guest has been unexpectedly waylaid.
Well, so, it's normally one of us this time of year.
Yeah, it's normally one of us. That's true.
And it very nearly was. But
so we're going to do a bit of a crazy 2020 final of the end of the year sort of thing, just do a few updates on what's going on at the moment. But, yeah, so no special guests this week, just the three of us, which most of you seem to like. When we put the shows up with just the three of us, they get extremely high numbers. So we don't feel bad about that. So hopefully you enjoy it. It'll be fun.
How much does your mum listen, mate?
My mum? Oh, she's religious.
She just keeps it up rolling.
Same as your mum.
There goes another one.
Same as your mum and same as BP's mum. The mums are loyal. Right. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So, first off, we weren't expecting Mr. Nick Bice to be here right about now.
No, we weren't.
He would have been.
We would have finished about 4 hours ago, yeah. And basically, we would have won the whole thing. We reckon we easily took it out on IRC.
Oh, easily.
No dramas there. And I reckon we would have beaten at least one of the other Supermaxis, be it Loyal or Blackjack, depending on a few different things, because it was a...
InfoTrack.
Jesus. Sorry. InfoTrack. It would have been a full Nama for sure down there. And you know what goes... better than a rental car in an Armoff, a Volvo 70.
Absolutely, it does.
And I was just wondering, do you think I could hit the owner up to still honour the tradition of buying all the crew Rolexes?
Oh, because well, you've virtually decided you've won. I love it.
Oh, no. Yeah, took it out. Easy. So
absolutely no breakages because the boat was awesome. It was set up perfectly.
Oh, mate, without a doubt, she was on. Absolutely.
It's a hollow feeling, though, isn't it? Knowing that it would have been.
Yeah. I was explaining to my wife about it today, and it's like, oh. And you're looking at the routing that got sent through, and the boys and most navigators are still doing a little bit of routing based on the current weather conditions.
Painful. I am right now.
Painful. Mm. So, but anyway, that's life. And if you, 2 weeks ago, if you thought 2020 could throw something more crazy up, well, yeah, I was mistaken.
It's the Clayton Sydney Hobart Bicycle.
I don't know. It didn't go ahead. It would have been unreal.
And it did make the Sydney Morning Herald today. I believe I was reading the article and it said that there is a certain element of sailors that have missed the ride of their life.
And you're right. I mean, Bicey, a Volvo 70 would have just smoked down there in the conditions that are there. InfoTrack would have absolutely smoked down there. She would have been... The only problem InfoTrack would have had would have been turning right at the Derwent because she would have had so much steam, head of steam.
So much pace on. Momentum could have rolled over.
Might have rolled over.
Oopsie, we're meant to be going that way. I'm trying. Helms hard over.
You know what other boat I reckon would have just been unreal to watch? Imoca 60, a latest model Imoca 60, like the Super 60 or something, heading down in those conditions. I'm not sure, like as BP and I are talking about it, this Arvo, say what you're saying, BP, you reckon it might be a bit... The waves might be a bit short and steep, but...
Well, we all know what happens down that coast, the east coast of Tasmania, when you get those conditions. It's quite a steep and short chop, especially if there's not much swell around it. You know, it builds up into just a wind chop, and it can be quite a hard stop into the back of the waves. It would have been interesting to see how they would go. I mean, I think we're going to see a day, maybe, where they are, but, yeah... I mean, in 35 knots, I think a Volvo 70 would be my choice for sure.
It would be. What was that boat that the one that had the DSS foil? Do you remember which one that was?
Yeah, that's Maverick.
Maverick. I wonder how that would have gone.
Probably too square.
Yeah.
The thing lights up at about 110 degrees, true in angle. And then it struggles between the dead square and the upwind stuff. So it looked pretty good for a Volvo 70 for boats that can run deep. So, you know, 145s to 150s would be your perfect angle in that race, and that's what it was.
Well, alluded to, BP, you know, because you're doing the virtual race. So tell us what's going on with you, bud. So what happened?
A bit disappointed. With you?
Me?
Yeah. I've used your weather model.
Oh. What, the one now, I gave you three weeks ago?
Now. Three weeker.
Yes. Now, that's not
it wasn't that, that bad.
Well. 3 weeks ago.
That's not to say that I haven't done well. And let me explain a little bit here. I've never done this virtual racing thing, and I think it's been quite a laugh. But anyway, as I said to you, I missed the start due to unforeseen circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Not my fault.
No, I came out of the heads in 157,000th position.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of boats in the harbour must have been busy.
Mm.
I managed to get out. Probably better that I did that because there probably would have been a few port starboards. Now, my last attempt wasn't that good. So this year...
How'd you go at the clearance mark?
Good. So anyway, I've joined the race a fair bit later and I've made a few tactical decisions and I find myself picking up positions as I do each renew, or what do you want to call it, refresh. Mm-hmm. And all the way through, I didn't stay up all night, I've got to say. I just plotted a course. You can do a routing thing. It's quite cool. I found out, I woke up this morning and I overtook 110,000 boats.
Nice.
And I currently find myself in the leading pack heading towards St. Helens,
mm-hmm.
waiting for this front to come in. I'm currently in about 4,000th position. So
I'm still confused as what I've done wrong here. It sounds like you're going good.
I'm 4 hours late.
You're 4 hours late.
Yeah, I should be 4 hours further down the track because the leaders are about 3 hours in front of me.
Right, and that's my forecast the model. I forecast
the 24-hour nor'easter.
24-hour nor'easter,
and it's been 28 hours
before the southwester hit.
Not good enough.
So I wrote a note down. Episode 82, and about 16 minutes into it, Nick Bice said I would be the greatest meteorologist ever if my prediction came true. Navigator or forecaster ever if my prediction came true.
Yeah.
And it's 4 hours out. It exactly Rightio, the weather I forecast.
Pipe down, Stevie J. Settle down, pal. But I can tell you, in every single Sydney to Hobart yacht race, bar probably a couple, there's been a nor'easter for at least 24 to 28 hours. So you got that bit right. Congratulations.
But you've completely wrecked my race by 4 hours.
Followed by a sou'wester.
No.
Congratulations. No,
there's plenty starting southerlies. I'm a genius. I think you just need to get it down that I'm a genius. I'm 4 hours short of being a genius.
Hang on.
It's not a bad thing.
85.
It's all good. So at the moment.
Hang on, I'm just writing a note.
Yeah.
Jordan is a genius.
If you don't mind me updating the actual current situation, is my comeback has been seen by one team, Big Balls.
Big Balls
would be Gareth from Western Australia, who heads up the Australian Virtual Regatta sailing team and has actually invited me into the team.
Well, who can blame him?
I'm chuffed. I'm chuffed.
Hey, this is bloody good. I haven't even had a crack at this stuff before.
Yeah, we're naive. We know with the Volvo how popular it is. Like we knew. I missed my plane in Cape Town once because I was chatting to a bloke about this stuff who runs it. He ran it for the Volvo. I can't remember his name, but
Who needs all those kill 'em and bang 'em up games when you can do this?
Yeah, well, BP, I'm just thinking, even for you, like you know, with your mini transit stuff that you used to do, like you're getting the same. You can get all the vibes without getting cold, without getting wet, and you can have some sleep.
Mate, I overtook people last night having a glass of wine.
Just like the old days. Break out your guitar next time. Oh, there we go. Another 4,000. Boom.
I'm not jibing there. That's a silly place to jibe.
I saw your – what's the name of your boat? What have you called yourself?
Oh, just BP7778.
BP7778, which is your old mini number, isn't it? Is that right?
Oh, it's just the number that
– just a number that follows you around. I saw you had a you went past Bradshaw on did you have a port starboard with Bradshaw?
No, there was another guy I had a port starboard with him. Got through him, though, in the end.
Pass, and then you had an interaction with Tom Slongsby?
Slongers is
sending it.
He was a little bit up the track, but he's caught on the wrong side of the shift. He's
should have listened to me, Slongers.
Yeah, so at the moment we're heading into shore. It's sort of aiming into St. Helens, and we're starting to head undershoot. I've got 27 knots of breeze, and I'm sitting, maximum speed seems to be about 16 knots on these things.
You know what's going to happen, BP?
And I'm heading into – I'm actually getting a massive knock at the moment, so I'm just have to
– So when the bandwidth goes out, you've tacked – you've dropped the chute.
No, I've
– And you're hardening up
on the breeze,
and about to you're hardening up, about to put one over.
So when I get off this show, I'm probably getting absolutely smashed.
So you sacrificed your race to record. I think you need to get that out there. Sacrificed your race to record. Bossy's got a note. What have you got written down as your note now, Bossy?
Episode 85, Jordan is awesome. Jordan is a genius.
BP pissed off.
BP sacrificed his race due to bar karate commitments.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, dear. Right, well, there you go.
Gold stars. Gold stars all around.
We got... Obviously, Bossy, speaking of Barkerati commitments, I'll come back to that later on. Come to that now. One of our great friends, or particularly your great friend, and I seem to be becoming more and more part of his life, is a guy called Kaelin Howard. Kaelin is in with you on your little club of mates who... What's it called? Defenders Oz.
So Defenders Oz.
For the Land Rover.
I think it's had a few different names if you were talking about it. Yeah, go on.
If you're a fan of the Land Rover Defender, that's what we're talking about. And Bossy has a page on Facebook called Defenders Oz with Kaelin. And as a loyal friend, I spend hours and hours and hours bagging the crap out of Defenders on that site to give them lots of contacts and lots of hits. And people come in there to tear me down, but it's all just there to do the right thing, to create
banter. It's all about the banter.
Banter.
Yeah.
And sorry, BP.
No, I was going to say just the Jeep Land Rovers. What do you call them? Jeep Defenders. They're awesome, aren't they?
But you spent some time with Kaylin the other day doing a bit of charity work. Let's call it that, charity work. You know, just delivering Christmas cheer. And you need to tell us about that, but also about the sports boat idea that has emerged from the discussions as you spread that Christmas cheer. So run us through the program there, boss.
Rightio. So as alluded to last week, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, we had a new batch of Barkrati Sailors Lager go down. And as of the 23rd of December, the Adelaide allocation had landed. And something my wife was super impressed about, 150 cartons of Sailor's Lager into the shed. So what's that mean? Well, that means on Christmas Eve or the 24th, I dress up as Santa Claus, put tinsel on the Land Rover, the Series 1 1950 Land Rover.
Same year as your mum was born.
Correct. Get my Santa's little helper, or big helper for that matter, Mr. Carlin Howard, partner in Defenders Oz, with his Land Rover, and we load them to the tilt full of booze, like you wouldn't believe, ready for delivery to all the yacht clubs that are hosting the Harken SA Summer of Sail. So the idea, we basically delivered the beers because we, Mighty Craft and Barkrati Sailors Lager, are going to be the official beer of the SA Summer of Sail. So first trip, we load up to go to Adelaide Sailing Club, 50 cartons of beer in the back of my little 80-inch Land Rover. And you wouldn't believe it, just taking off in front of me, cop car as I got to the first intersection.
How'd that go for you?
I knew exactly where they were going. I pull out at the next intersection, they're pulling in behind me.
Oh, how'd it go for you?
So they followed me all the way from Henley Beach all the way to the Adelaide Sailing Club. My good mate, my Santa's little helper, just waved them through so they were directly behind me and not him. And then they pulled off. Well, when I pulled off up to Adelaide Sailing Club, they kept going on their way. But throughout the day, having gone to both Adelaide, Brighton, and then finally to Largs Bay Sailing Club, I have never seen so many cop cars. And here I am in the Land Rover, tinsel everywhere, got a few wreaths going on. I'm dressed in full Santa suit, got the beard, everything, got my kids with me.
With 50 cartons of beer.
And 50 cartons of beer in the back. We were certainly spreading the cheer.
If the cops are going to let you off, being dressed as Santa Claus with your kids. Mate,
I reckon we had some goodwill going, but slightly overloaded, slightly.
No doubt. I've got to ask you, the acceleration of a Land Rover Defender 1950 wouldn't be all that good at the best of times.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Load her up. That's how good it is.
So it was the same. So basically, naught to 60 in about an hour.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
Well, they were following you. They were following you because they were making sure you weren't going too slow.
Exactly. We arrive at the respective clubs, drop off our beer, and at our first club, Adelaide Sailing Club, we thought, what better way to introduce Barkrati Sailors Lager than to have one with the Commodore, Peter Orr, as you all know.
Yep.
And so we had a beer, and we're just shooting the shit a little bit. Harry Fisher was there from SA Summer of Sail, and then young Alex Blackers turns up, and we're talking about his entry into the Adelaide Sailing Regatta, Sailing Club Regatta, part of the regatta, and he's sailing in the Babcock 550 or whatever it was, and everyone was just bemused. What is the Babcock 550? And what the Babcock 550 is a boat that he designed on Babcock Drive. Blackers. He designed on Babcock Drive. And he just came up with the name, and that was the boat. So that then led to my Santa's little helper, my helper, coming up with, wouldn't that be a fantastic new rule, sports boat rule, that whatever suburb you live in, that is the length of the waterline.
Oh.
The boat, the sports boat that you live in.
How
so
do you
five,
North Haven would 5.018. be 5.018, blah, blah, blah. So you go through it all. So you can have all the overhangs and everything. So we reckon we got most of the country beat, except for a few of the states, of course.
Western Australia would have you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Western Australia will have us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, basically in Adelaide, sports boats can be designed and the waterline length can be based on your suburb.
So that
then led us to another question, another point, because do you then choose what suburb you live in, not necessarily for what school your public school your kids can go to, but to ensure that you have the ultimate sports boat?
I know a few blokes have moved for exactly for that reason, if that was the rule.
Well, I've got to say it wouldn't really work for me here in Des Moines. I'm 2/4/7.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're bugging. Yeah. You're in the freeze.
You'd be sailing one of those 8-foot skiffs.
2 meter. A little 2 meter. Here comes BP. He's out with his crew.
So was that boat, the 550, what was it? The Babcock 550. Was that designed to the little I-550 or the International 550?
No, I couldn't tell you exactly. Right. If it's got anything to do with blackers, it's designed to go as quick as it can.
Mm.
And the fact it was just designed in his backyard on Babcock Street or whatever it was called.
Well, that's pretty much
what he called it.
The little I-550s are.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Very cool. So, well, that's Kalen's idea. I must admit, when you used Kalen's sports boat, I thought, he's just going to drive it onto a dinghy and then just drive the Defender onto a dinghy and call it a boat, and that's it. That was his idea. Because the Defender can do anything.
Pretty much. Include getting stuck in the sand, as we've seen just recently.
Just recently.
Carry on.
Yeah. I thought that was only Toyotas, mate.
As you were.
Right.
I thought Defenders saved Toyotas.
Well, we don't want to talk them up.
Yeah.
Second best car in the world.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of the reasons why you were delivering so much beer, apart from the demand, is, of course, the Summer of Sail, the Festival of Sail, 28 December to 10 January, sponsored by Harken, the Harken SA Summer of Sail Festival. We can give them that plug because we're mates. How does it work again? I've got it up in case you need me to...
Yep, so the first regatta being held at Brighton, 4 days beginning tomorrow. We have the Sharpies, 505s, Tasers, Fireballs, Windsurfers.
NS14s and so Contenders.
Pretty much what you would consider the senior centerboard classes.
Yep.
Sailing out of Brighton, BP.
I did see you put a note up on Facebook today about the rainbow.
Bring back the rainbow, I say. That should have been there.
Obviously not in the SA Festival of Sail.
But maybe we save the rainbow for Adelaide Sailing Club, of which begins on the 3rd of January.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Adelaide Sailing Club basically, we'll call that the intermediate centerboard classes, which includes, of course, Blackers in his almighty sports boat. And then finally, we have Largs Bay Sailing Club with Tier 16s. What have you got there, Jordan? You've got
Mirrors, Impulses, 125, Savers, Herons, Hartley 16s, the RS Aero, and Etchells. How are Etchells sailing out at Largs?
Yeah, we'll sail from the squadron or CYC.
I heard you say we. So assuming that you've now, obviously because you didn't do the homework and didn't get lost, you've put yourself into an Etchell.
No, that's a respective we.
Royal we. No, not the royal we, the opposite.
The other we. Just a we.
Yeah. The reason we talk about it a bit, we talk about this, if you're listening from other parts of the world going, this is no relevance to us, it is because what the the organiser has done is by splitting the classes over three events at three yacht clubs, they've tried to put a lot of thought into which classes at which yacht club, so that if you want, you're not, people aren't going away to nationals, so you can sail in one class at one yacht club and then in the other, another class at the next yacht club and another class. You'd likely be able to, they're trying to cater for everyone. So, for example, at Sail Adelaide, you've got all the little boats, but you've also got sports boats, trailables and off-the-beach cats. So, and the same for lugs. You know, you've got the small dinghies and then you've got the Hartleys and, you know, the aeros, which you can sail up with a 9-metre sail and so on and so forth. So the idea is that you can get plenty of sailing in. So they've put a lot of thought in it to make it work, all right? And if you're an overseas person trying to run regattas and create interest and do stuff, have a look at how they've done it. It's pretty smart, all right? So that, I think that's one of the reasons I want to harp on it on the show.
And just on that, current entries, Sail Brighton 61, Sail Adelaide 68, and Largs 22. I mean, it's a huge amount of boats, and they'll all be replenished quite fresh, refreshingly with the Barcarati sailors.
Well, I was going to say, you,
if they many, are, of many, course, of the appropriate age.
And the ones that are of the appropriate age, how many cartons did you supply? Only 50?
No. So we've delivered 100. Around 120.
Oh, that's okay then. We might keep them hydrated for a day or so.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, that's cool. So that's good.
And just a quick update. It's not the Babcock. It's the Bricknell 550. My mistake. Sorry, Blackers.
So where the hell did Babcock come from?
No, it was just in my head. All clear.
As it is.
It's what I love. It's just the pure mastery of facts.
Yeah. our ability to understand and control scripting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to another event that's happening. And this one is of definite interest for everyone spread all around the world. The VX1, so most people would be aware of a VX1, fantastic little boat. They're holding their Australian titles 21 to 24 of January at the Royal Queensland Yacht Squadron. But what is of interest for our listeners who are not based in Australia in any way, is that the same team that covered the Moth World Championships are going to be providing full live coverage of the event, streaming coverage with full commentary team and drones, the whole setup, same as they did for the Moths to watch the VXs. So if you're sitting around, you've got nothing to do and you're in isolation and you don't want to pay $150 for the America's Cup or whatever, you'll be able to watch this for free. It's, again, sponsored by Harken. So Gil, actually, I won't give him all the plug. I saw Dave Alexander on there. I've just lost all the sponsors. But anyway, yeah, so it'll be a cracking
Tell me,
event.
Jordan, who's heading up the commentary team out of the central commentary position?
I tell you. In the central commentary position, he'll be wearing the beige, the cream.
The cream, the white, and the white, the off-white.
Yep. He was the guy that was commentator from the World Sailing Games. It's me. Me. Huh, Jordan, right, Spencer.
Yeah. Oh, the cream, the bone, the white, the off-white, ivory or beige actually would suit your hair, actually. It'll set it off quite nicely.
All right, look.
Hey, mate, this is a glamour. Cool boats. Fast boats, yep. Going to be great to, and you're going to have access to all that footage and a great production team behind you with Harry and Mark and all his team.
Yep. Yeah, it'll be a cracker. And where they'll sail them off RQ, they can get pretty, it can get slightly choppy there, but it's generally pretty flat because there's a couple of islands block any sort of wind swell build-up, so they can get some pretty good speeds and also really good tactical racing. So if you're into that, you'll actually be able to enjoy it. It'll be a ton of fun. So I thought I'd give it a bit of a pluggy plug. You know what might be there as well? I'm negotiating terms.
I hope you're going down what I was just about to bring up.
Yeah, Karate Sailors Lager.
What do you think, BP?
I was thinking actually Team Bacardi VX1.
Oh.
With Bacardi Lager, of course.
Yeah. There's a major part of my life that's missing at the moment. Before money, I get that money. VX1. Yeah, an income.
Yeah, that money bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of COVID.
All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So once that happens, of course, then the VX1 will be there. It's a pretty solid lineup just of people that are there. We won't harp on it now, but it will be.
Yeah, we'll give it a little bit of action.
We'll do a bit of
closer
build up
to the event.
Yeah, eh? Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be some good racing. Regardless. Yeah. Speaking of good racing, let's give a little bit of a plug to the Noosa Yacht and Rowing Club because we know a lot of their members listen to us. They had their Vagabond World Cup event the other day. If you don't know what a Vagabond is and had never heard of their World Cup, then you're probably amongst...
Get out from the rock you're under.
And get amongst it. You pitiful, pitiful excuse for a human being. What's a Vagabond?
I'm not quite sure. Vagabond is, I think, it's like a really heavy old training boat, sort of like Corsair sort of thing.
I've never seen one.
No, I've seen them.
Corsair.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember the old Corsairs?
Yeah.
That sort of style of thing. Anyway. They had their World Cup there the other week, and they sent us. They're one of the club's people that send us notes, and there were no rules. No rules. Even for those who stuck to rules, there were no rules. Congratulations to Leroy and Ben for their win.
We should get them on because that might be interesting to see how they actually won the regatta.
I'm talking to them about buying Bacardi Sailor's Lager through the Yacht Club, and if they are going to do that, then I'm more than happy to get them on. And
well, my point is, if there's no rules, even for those who actually follow the rules, how did they go about winning the regatta? Did they apply some of their own rules?
Yeah, that's a good question.
A new scoring system.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came up with it themselves. They just came last. We won.
Fine.
Got that? Just go to the get that bit.
I said barley's first.
Get that bit of paper. I've got that program on a computer. I'll just put us at the top.
You guys,
awesome.
That's very smart, BP. It's a good thought.
I think so.
All right. Lads, just something of interest. I don't know. You know me. I like floating around and looking at strange or finding lots of facts and bits of information and rah rah rah. We haven't done the quiz. Questions for a long time, which is fine because I'm not sure a few people seem to get into it. But anyway, we talked about the Jules Verne when those two, we had a couple of boats going for the Jules Verne trophy.
Yeah, the Jules Verne trophy, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, have you blokes ever seen the Jules Verne trophy?
Negative.
Negatory.
No. Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I've seen the America's Cup.
Okay, well, but,
does it exist?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And where's it held?
In the National Maritime Museum in Paris.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Are you doing a Google search right now, Bryson?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Have a look because it's.
Okay, well, I've got to get on this.
So it's awarded to, obviously, we know, for those sailors, we all know what it is. It's for travelling around the world and. Fastest time, so basically all the big trimarans and stuff. But for those who don't know, the trophy by itself is its own special special thing to see. It is very, very cool. Have you guys got it?
Quite unique, isn't it?
So it's, you can see how it's floating?
Yeah.
Right? It actually, that is sort of, it's a stylized boat, right? And... It floats. It's a metal boat, and it floats on a magnetic field.
Yeah, got it. I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't it cool?
First time I've ever seen it. Love it.
It's cool. So the tradition is that they, when you win, they take the trophy and you take it out, and as the winner of the trophy, you don't get to take the trophy from the museum, but so they actually take it out, and then it's your job to put it back in there and float it on that magnetic field.
Wow.
Love it. Love it.
I just
sounds like that. Yeah, that's cool.
I just thought, you know, that's something that people probably haven't actually ever heard of, but, you know, it's one of those useless bits of information that sit in my head.
We hadn't heard of it.
Did you know that before you Googled it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I did know about it. I'm not sure how I know about it, but
there's a lot of stuff that sits in my head that I don't know where it comes from. It kind of floats in.
Let me just add a note. It kind of floats in there,
just like the trophy.
Yeah.
Jordan Spencer.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff in his head.
Lots of stuff. And it floats like the Jules Verne trophy.
My wife does occasionally look at me and go, how the hell do you know that? And I go, I have no idea. It's just in
I have a big head.
prove that.
Lots of things fit in there.
Yeah.
But to be honest, to be actual truthful, for all those people who haven't seen it, the Jules Verne trophy, I'm looking at it right now. It is fantastic. So some good stuff is in that head of yours. Very cool.
Well, now it's out, so it's no good to anyone. Anyway, all right. Okay. All right, well, let's move on to the Vendée. It's been crazy, the old Vendée. So any observations from you legends?
Well, hang on, I've just lost it. Hang on, where'd it go? Oh, because I Google searched, it went away.
You lost your Vendée.
The observations are he's on the march. Yes, we can.
Yes,
and Riant.
Yeah, yep, yep. All right.
Hang on, I'm trying to bring it back up again. I'm getting fussed.
Don't get fussed.
Vendée.
Don't spell it wrong.
V-N-G-P-E-E Globe Tracker.
I'll tell you one thing. The biggest thing for me is how close they are.
Yeah. Unreal, isn't it?
I know originally talking about the Omoka, the ocean rate, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of speculation about how far the boats are going to be apart. And what have we got? How long they've been racing for? They got like 20-odd thousand miles.
Yep.
We got 73 miles to second, 320 to third, 360 to fourth, 370 to fifth, 373 to sixth. Bloody close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that it's, I mean, yeah, last week when we recorded,
found it.
Oh, good, good. Exactly a week ago, they were just south of New Zealand. And now they haven't even made it to Point Nemo yet. So they're not halfway across. So the Point Nemo is the halfway point effectively between New Zealand and Cape Horn. And a few other elements that go into Point Nemo, but effectively the halfway. So it has not been a storming Southern Ocean run by any measure. And they're all sort of just working along that ice line. And obviously Yannick Bestaven is managing to hang on to the lead. As Bicey said, yes, we can, Jean Le Cam, and everyone is right there, super close. But they're not up and charging, are they? They're in really, really marginal conditions. Like they're only doing 9 knots at the moment, sort of thing. Yeah. 9 to 11 to 7 knots. They're all there, they're all close. You know who I reckon to keep an eye out for right at the moment?
Go on.
Armel Tripon on La Occitane en Provence.
Oh, that was just the best explanation of it.
I like it. He's coming nicely with that big front, which is going to, that kind of system is going to chew up a few of the others there.
Yep.
Who are heading right into the middle of that system right now.
Yep.
So, yep, I concur.
He's on the right angle for his boat. He's sitting right in that system, and the others are going to get caught up by that system, I reckon, a few of them. And he should be able to sit on it. And he was. He's 1,000 miles back. I'm sure he was 2,000 back before or something like
that. The big rubber band is happening, you reckon?
He's on the charge, mate.
Tell you what, though. I was reading this morning, and I don't know if you have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but Thomas Riant was back in ninth place at the last one of the last things. He went off to the northeast and was really concerned about where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's absolutely looking famous right now.
Yep.
He's put himself back up into third.
Yep. And he hasn't really got the main benefit of that yet. So he's about to close right down. So there is a chance those front three could extend out and away from the next pack. But L'Occitane might actually join up to that next pack. And then if once we get into more normal conditions, it looks pretty awkward. Like once they get close to the Cape, it looks like they're going to get some pretty solid wind as they get to Cape Horn. But then when they get back up into the Atlantic, into the trades, those boats should actually charge along pretty well. So it's interesting. I'm not sure how I think it's all going to come down, but it is interesting.
But hasn't Yannick Besthaven sailed a cracker of a race?
Yep.
When you look at what he's done.
But, well, it's not. We haven't had the perfect conditions for the newer boats. I reckon, like some of the older boats can go pretty well. So,
we won't see them, as Ryan spoke about last week, till we get back up the Atlantic and they start putting the hammer down.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But Ryan did actually mention L'Occitane as one to watch. You know, he still had a bit of love for it, and. Armel seems to be really well positioned at the moment. And as you said, Bicey, Jean Lacam, yes we can. Like under budget, he got his sales by lending his boat out, and then that was his charter fee. And he's got 16 hours of corrected time to go on there. He's looking pretty glamour at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yep.
Mm.
Moving back into the fleet, couple of little important notes. Alan Rauer, young 27-year-old on La Fabrique, has come forward with some RAM issues. Now, I know Alan from the mini days. He actually did a couple of the races in Valencia against me, and it's one guy that's followed his dream. Now, apparently he's locked it off and he's trying to work with his team to sort it out. So hopefully he comes good. Another little story is Pip Hare, our Barkaratian. She's gotten to the halfway point and has put on her new thermals, so she's away. She's very happy to be in that situation, but she's actually in the situation where she's trying to make sure she doesn't get smashed by this front. So she's actually setting herself up for the best of the worst conditions, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, just a reminder to everyone, Jean Lacam, he doesn't have foils on his boat either.
You're right.
Yeah.
Also a reminder that to everyone, it's a far.
Good on you. I love it. Isabel,
had to smash that one in.
Isabel Joshki is the first female in seventh place. So she's right there. She's 700 miles off the lead. So she's in that main pack. So we're talking 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th is that next pack. Interesting times. But they're going slow at the moment. Absolutely sitting in some really light winds. That second pack could close up pretty quickly.
Just looking right back to the back of the fleet, which often gets overlooked. I mean, they're even in light conditions. I mean, I'm looking back to...
It's strange.
Let's go right back to...
No, it's because the ice zone's so far north.
You reckon?
You reckon they said?
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly... If you look at the... you overlay the wind into the ice zone, a couple hundred miles further south and they're smoking.
Smoking. Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually, when you look at it. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
But they put that ice zone there for a reason, though, right, Bicey? They've seen ice at these points, detected ice at these points over a period. You'd know more than me with the Volvo Ocean Race. So they've obviously...
It's all a setup. They're just stretching it out so they can time it perfectly to go around Cape Horn in daylight to get the choppers out.
Oh, right, okay. Okay. Okay.
No. No. It looks a conservative exclusion zone in my eyes.
Well, of course, there's the other point that there was a secret pro note a few weeks ago, well, actually quite a long time ago now, about the potential of one Nick Bice in the case of a situation getting thrown aboard an Orion plane, which is a submarine hunter, which is what we use here for search and rescue. And then it looks like they're going to all get through. So you might not be getting on board a plane.
Well, yeah, here.
And you were in the Hobart. You didn't tell us you were in the Hobart at that stage.
Oh, yes, my mistake. there's still a few more to go through. But they're quite a way south. I might get them to move the ice exclusion zone up just to cause a bit of havoc.
Well, that way they wouldn't need to use the Orion. You could get down there on your tinny, right?
Catfish on her way.
Yes, read you loud and clear on my VHF. Just for departing Grange now.
For those who are fans of the Shirelle, Jeremy Bayou, just to give you some idea, if the Sydney Hobart fleet was on, he's sort of in that northeaster, northerly pressure that's charging down the east coast of Australia at the moment. So he's just out to the east of Tasmania, travelling across and in plenty of wind, but doing only 14 knots. So,
well, what do you mean he's in plenty of wind?
Well, he's...
he's in a solid 34 at the moment.
Yep. 35 knots.
I've got him doing 14 knots.
Mm, that's right.
So he's obviously trying to slow the boat down.
He's right on that ridge line. He's right on that ridge line. I reckon it'd be pretty uncomfortable. So, yeah. Interesting.
I was only thinking about it as I was, immersed into my yacht race and how uncomfortable things were while I was sitting here in front of the computer and just...
just checking out the book, a bit of Twitter.
Well, just got to shoot downstairs and ride the bike with the girls for a second. But but the point is that I was just thinking about it and how these guys and girls go around the world and they're on their own and they're down there. I mean, I've been down to the Southern Ocean. We've all been down there. Well, Bice, you've been down there, and Jordan, you've done a Hobart, so you've experienced Southern Ocean. But I can't imagine what it must be like to be out there days on end on your own out there like that.
Mm. You certainly need to be at one with yourself, don't you?
It'd be peaceful.
Was an interesting.
Jordan would love it.
Actually, I don't know. I think he'd have a problem with just trying to get the head working. He'd just be thinking about things all the time.
Yep, you know me too. That's well. Right.
You've got internet.
Well, I mean, well, that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Doing a million miles an hour.
I must admit, just to sort of elaborate on going back on to Pip Hare, she actually said a good thing. She said she gets to a point where she just knows the boat so well and she could understand when the boat was working perfectly, when she was able to go out and tweak the trim a little bit and the boat just felt, and her words were, felt at one with the surroundings. And she said that was the time that she was able to go into that mode of relaxation, whereas other times when you know that it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Yep.
And that's what she's saying. She's out there on her own. I mean, you got to imagine this is a, she's relatively a petite, young lady. She's out there on a 60-footer in the Southern Ocean, and she's saying that she understands the boat to a point where she knows when she has to go and do something. And that's just a really cool way of looking at it. If you want to try and put your head in their head,
nice.
I might use that as our warm-up speech tomorrow, BP, if you don't mind, in the Absolutely. Sharpie tomorrow.
Go for it, mate.
Yeah,
feel the boat. When it's not right, it's not right.
We have to ask someone to rig it up for us, but yeah, anyway.
Hey, just for those who are listening and don't know, we've mentioned Point Nemo a few times in the last couple of podcasts. So Point Nemo, for those who don't know, is the point on the planet that is furthest from land, okay? And it's
furthest.
It's furthest from any land on the planet. So it's in the middle of the ocean. It's just a point that we use as a reference. So it's between South America and New Zealand and just up a bit from the ice gate at the moment. So Point Nemo is, that's it. There's nothing there. There's no bit of land there. It's just a reference, you know. It's just, we know where the furthest from land.
No Chandra or anything?
No Chandra. No. It shut down last week. COVID killed it.
They just ran out of M6 paddles.
They got locked out when they went to metric.
The only closest human being, apart from other people on the ocean, is people space. In the International Space Station.
I heard that, yes.
By a long way. So, yeah. Just for those who don't know, so we thought we'd let you know that one. Any more on the Vondo?
Just keep viewing it, but you're not thinking of taking a late run in this one, BP, with the virtual gun?
Yeah, with your ability.
I tell you what, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Why not? You got, because I've got a suspicion.
Maybe, Jordan, you could do my routing for me.
Of course. It's
you, well, when you enter at the that you enter at the point.
Oh, okay. So you could just join from where you are.
Yeah, they put you in a medium position and off you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez, you'd be at the front within 2 days. Mate.
Well, as I said, I overtook 146,000 votes last night.
Yeah, well, you do your best work in bed.
I was asleep, to be honest. I woke up and, geez, I'm in 12,000 position. How about that?
Well, you've got to have a bit of spare time on your hand, BP, because all that training and hard work you've been doing in the Etchells is now gone to waste.
Well, it hasn't gone to waste. And for those who are sort of interested in this little one, is the Etchell Nationals has been postponed due to our current situation here in Sydney. Very upsetting for me personally, because I was fully geared towards it. And obviously as a primed athlete that I am, it's going to be very hard to, you know, to sort of like keep yourself on that elite, you know, like the Olympics, like the Olympic elite level. Like the Olympic athletes, you know, it's the same sort of thing. We go through the same thing.
Rightio.
As I have a cough and splutter in the background. No, the point is, that, yes, the Etchells have been postponed, and that is the word postponed. They are looking at regattas, but we've still got some training on, but it's terribly disappointing.
It is terribly disappointing, but it'll happen. We're lucky in Australia that we are getting to do a bit of sailing. I think as a lot of people aren't getting to, and for those of our listeners who are just locked down hard,
absolutely,
massive sympathy for you. Let's just hope this thing goes away. It's killing a lot of things that we're trying to do, but there are things going on. And one of those things is you continue to sell X2s, BP. Congratulations, mate. Another one this week.
Another one this week. And the good thing is, well, for me personally, as I am a Sydney resident, it's coming to Sydney. So that gives us the start of a fleet. And activity breeds activity. And that's my motto, and hopefully we can sort of see some people see the benefits of this type of racing. I'm stoked. It was a really nice Christmas present for me, to be honest. After all these months of work, it's finally coming to fruition. So, yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well done.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, I think that's us, boys. Is there much else you want? Anything else?
No, I've got to get into the Betty boys, mate. We've got a big race starting tomorrow in the Sharpie.
Yeah,
so
we have, yes.
Got Paddle up front. Hadn't been up front for about 8 years. I've done at least 2 days in the Sharpie in the last 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Paddo up front, got Matt Hansen in the middle.
Oh, Matt Hansen.
And,
you're driving.
Snowdy's with Deuce in the 5.
Oh, well, that's yeah. not
so a... At least between some of those other guys, they'll be able to rig the boat for us.
Yeah. I think Matt Hansen will be able to.
Matt's all right. Matt.
You'll be a little hyperactive team on that boat, won't
what
you?
What boat do you want? What boat do you want, boys? Is it Sideshow Bob?
Sideshow Bob.
Nice. Well, she's a nice new boat, so you'll be right, mate.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hope it gets windy for you. So yeah,
20 knots sea breeze every day.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Wow. Sharpies love that.
What way should I go, Jordan?
Go left.
Where are you sailing?
What way should I go?
Brighton.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't actually looked at the weather, because you can get caught out at Brighton pretty easy.
Yeah. I was going to get you down for coach. But.
Yeah, there's a lot happens at the old Brighton with their weather system there.
It does spin around that corner, doesn't it, interestingly. Southeasterly is a lot more down there.
Yeah, so what happens is the continental sea breeze, which hits late in the – because you get a localised sea breeze.
Here we go.
And then you get the continental sea breeze comes in. So the localised is the southwest, and then the one –
episode 85.
And the continental sea breeze will hit around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So you've got to be
the breeze hard to the left.
But when it hits – you think it's going to go hard left straight away, but it doesn't necessarily. Sometimes it flicks a little right first, and then
anyway. I'll tell you what. As a sponsor of the event, Bar Karate Sailors Lager being the official beer, we're not on the water at 5 PM, mate.
Well, all I'll say for you, mate, is obviously, as you know, sailing a Sharpie in 20 knots is just going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah,
absolutely, ton of fun. They're a cracking boat.
Fantastic, mate. Hey, Bicey, enjoy yourself, mate.
Will do.
I hope that it pans out. Sorry about the fact that you could have had the win.
Right. I might have kind of drifted off during some of the talks there. I was just checking out what Rolex to buy.
Congratulations on your Hobart win. Yeah. Actually, for our listeners, before we sign off, next week we're going to do an extra special guest and we're going to focus in on skiffs. Okay, so if you're a fan of the skiff racing, we're going to go to the
In a build-up to the season that's coming, we're going to start off with the four.
Well, we'll talk with the most popular international skiff class in the world. Then obviously the JJs are down the track for the 18 fans. But we are going to try and ramp up a little bit on the skiff side just to create some love there for that. So, yeah, happy times.
Good one.
All right, team.
Nice.
Excellent, guys.
Farewell.
Cheers, everyone.
Happy New Year to you all.